This is Pure Decking, show number 341 for Thursday, I don't know, March something, 21st, I think, 2019. I am mustering up as much fake excitement as I possibly can. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like internet security, rigging up the game in the noose in the closet. And, you know, wondering if basing my life choices on Monty Python movies was the best idea. I'm Morps. Tonight, Madman is not back yet. Tonight, we have Are You?
Bob.
So, when Madman gets back, we'll ask him what he's drinking. I am drinking Eagle Rare, which is a bourbon, if anybody doesn't know. It's a good bourbon.
I have a top shelf glass of water.
That's rare where you live.
It is.
It's usually not top shelf.
My internet's going wobbly.
Say what? You losing your internet?
It was yesterday, man. Hopefully not.
Oh, fuck. Well, we'll see how far we get. So, let's get into the first article here. This one's just funny. It's from theregister.co.uk. And it's classic. here's the headline: Dead Land's Hand. IT staff locked out of data center's core switch after the only bloke who could log into it dies. We could replace it, but we have no idea what config is on the device. Documentation, people. When you're running IT, corporate IT, you have
User
to document.
User in your channel timed out.
Damn it, we lost RU. We lost RU, Madman's AFK. I guess I'm doing decking solo tonight. Anyways, an IT department is pulling out its hair this month after realizing a coworker who died last year was the only person who could log into a crucial network switch. This is according to Dylan, a sysadmin at a small U.S. healthcare company, who told LREG a story of how he and his colleagues ended up locked out of the equipment thanks to the untimely death in 2018. The deceased, who we'll refer to as Nick out of respect for the departed and the family, was the only person who knew how to log into the core switch and had a history of both health and work performance problems, it's claimed. Nick was absolutely not a good engineer, Dylan said. Well, you know, way to not speak ill of the dead. He knew enough to get himself by on tasks such as setting up an incredibly insecure FTP server and creating an incredibly unstable ESXi environment. pushing out managed engine products in insecure and often ridiculous ways.
User entered your channel.
Hey, we got RU and Madman back. It's not a solo act anymore. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Killian's Irish Red. And this engineer sounds like he actually knew what he was doing. He made himself irreplaceable.
You back, are you?
Yeah, I think I am. But time will tell.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can get a Ouija board, I'm seeing several consulting fees in his future.
So are you, I'm not certain when you got back in. The gist of the story is that they had an engineer who sucked and wasn't very good at his job, but he was the only guy who knew all the passwords, and he died.
There you go.
By 2018, Dylan told us, Nick's haphazard network management had caused a bevy of problems. Already planning to replace the Tetchy, managers were at the time struggling to fix an expired ESXi certificate Nick had neglected to replace when they received the news he had suddenly passed on. Oh, man. Yeah, I've been at that problem with the ESXi shit, too. You usually end up having to get into the guy's account. But if you have AD, it's not too big a deal. You just reset their password, right? But, on the equipment that's not managed by AD, you got a problem. Now, not only were Dylan and the others tasked with figuring out how to manage, repair, and rebuild the unique network crafted by their late colleague, but they would have to do it without knowing any of his login information or configuration details, according to the tipster. Okay, I've been in these situations before. The correct answer is rip and replace. You say, okay, it's time to upgrade our hardware, and we're just going to start replacing things, and you plan it as best you can to avoid downtime. And if you can't, then you get at the old ether killer and go make sure that the hardware is getting replaced and just don't get caught being the one hooking the Ethernet switch on the device you can't fix into the power socket. Let's see. I started at this company just a month before Nick died, so I got to experience this entire mess fold out, and have had to work with users on all the different things that were going down or breaking in the next few months afterwards, Dylan said. Certificates expiring, lost private keys for VPNs, bad configs causing failures, and I worked hard at it. For my work, they promoted me to system administrator, which I was supporting a whole bunch of these strange applications anyways. It's like, well, you're already doing the job, so why don't we...
we'll give you the title.
Yeah.
Next month, we might give you the pay.
The secret switch. Things were looking up and going relatively smooth until February this year, when Dylan noticed another thing wrong with the network at the company's remote data center. I was running a network scan in our data center, and we noticed had a XXX2 and an XXX3 and an XXS4. Why are you doing those CIDR notices? It's CIDR notices. They're not putting in the real network addresses, but the way they've done it is very confusing. What did the .4 go to? We had logins for 1 and 2, but we weren't sure what 4 was, Dylan told us. We knew we had a Dell Core switch in our data center, so I asked around if anybody knew a login or had touched the thing. Our engineer gave me a login, but said he hadn't managed to get into it. The Core switch was routing everything in our data center. Why would your Core switch be .4?
Shit.
Why was your Core switch .4? Okay, anyways. Nobody did. Unless you have more than one Core switch, your Core switch is usually not... It's either at the beginning or the end of the range. Usually the router's at the beginning and the Core switches are... Anyways, okay. I'll shut up. I'm not going to lose my shit. They already said this guy didn't know what he was doing, right? So... And in the intervening year after our old engineer died, nobody had touched the thing. Dylan said a technician, and switches are bad because they'll be sitting there running and you need to power cycle it for some reason. And the thing hasn't been turned off in 10 years, right? Where one of the memory chips that the config is stored on has died in the 10 years, but it's never mattered because it's been running out of RAM the whole time. The moment you try to reboot it, dead. Or part of the OS is corrupted, but again, it hasn't mattered because nothing's touched that part of the OS since nothing's rebooted it in years. So, I mean, switches have a reputation of doing that, where they're running fine until you reboot them. They just never come back. They're just dead. Okay. Dylan said a technician was dispatched to the data center to sort it out, and they worked with Dell support to try about 15 different ways to get in to no avail. A simple rip and replace of the switch is not possible either. Yeah, because you actually need scheduled downtime to figure out the routes on the damned thing. We had a 4-hour replacement on the device, so while they said they could get us one out there, the problem is we have no idea what the config is. No clue about VLANs, no clue if it had STP, trunking, or anything. Bearing a breakthrough in obtaining a valid login, Dylan told us the company had some scheduled downtime in April. Until then, they're simply going to hope the old switch holds up. As far as advice for other admins go, our source has a simple recommendation.
User in your channel timed out.
There goes RU again. For the love of God, back up your configs on your networking equipment. Back them up. Back up your private keys for PuTTY so other people can log in. Buy a password manager and give your master key to your director of IT, Dylan offered. That way, if you die, someone can follow up on all your work with your passwords, keys, and configs in a replacement situation. So he's not wrong. Actually, what I've taken to requiring our ops staff to do is to create a backdoor root login, basically. I mean, we're not calling it backdoor. It's a backup administrative login that the password is managed by our password vault. And pretty much all it's there for is in case everyone on that staff is hit by a bus. You know, meteor comes through the building and kills everyone. Somebody can get back into the password manager and get back into these devices. And I've had to do that because we've had ops staff leave and we've discovered things. So believe
me, head of ops here, lock this in a safe somewhere. You may need it one day.
Yeah, no, I've done that. I have absolutely done that. We got on Amazon. We ordered the iron keys. We backed up all the back door access logins onto it. We locked it in a fucking bank deposit box. I have done that.
Now you just have to make sure the right people know that it exists so that when everyone leaves, there's not just a bank deposit box somewhere with no one checking on it.
You're right about that. So, yeah.
I can see that happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, that does happen. You know, in fact, at another job, you know, they had some systems go down, and they actually sent the hard drives off for data recovery and paid the $9,000 to get the hard drives recovered because they died. And we then discovered, I discovered, actually, because it made it very awkward, I discovered the backup that the previous engineer before he had left had made of all those configs. I'm like, oh, here it is. And my boss said, shut up, delete that. I'm like, why? Because if our VP sees that he didn't need to authorize a $10,000 check for data recovery, he's going to fire us.
Like, but neither of us knew this existed. No one was keeping track.
Wouldn't have mattered, but that's okay. So
that's when you need open lines of communication.
Yes. Yes, you do. So anyways, yeah, if you're in IT, document your shit, please. It's not glamorous. It sucks. If anybody who's listening to the pre-stream heard me complaining, that's basically, I don't even get to do real IT work at work anymore. I'm doing consulting, explaining to people why what they've done is wrong, and documentation. I hardly get to spend any time doing real, actual network or security work anymore. It's like, firewall config? No, you don't have time to do firewall configs. You need to go over here and explain to these business people why what they want is a bad idea. Oh, man. I'm going to have to use car analogies again, aren't I?
No, it's March. Basketball analogies. Make them fit.
So, okay, what you guys are asking us to do, that's like going out into the basketball field, but half of the team are midgets.
Yeah, I think it's a court, not a field, so let's stop with the basketball analogies.
I was thinking football.
And go back.
I was thinking, I know, football, I'm sorry. Sport ball, like, that's a thing, right?
Yeah, you should not be explaining anything in the way of sports there, Morps.
Yeah, probably not.
You're not the greatest sports fan around, just sort of saying, man.
Well, you know, when that weird-shaped football goes through the hoop, that's...
There you go. It takes 2 days, you kick a couple of severed heads around, and then whoever wins, we kill.
Although, I'm still trying to figure out how the cheerleaders affect the score. I mean, I don't know, it seems to help, but... You know, if you think if the pro game things started getting desperate, they just, you know, start flashing the crowd for extra points. Is that not how that works?
Only.
Oh no, the cheerleaders are what you use to entice people to play for you, especially in college sports where you're not allowed to pay them. Like, look at the hot chicks you can fuck. I mean, exactly what I said.
So the thing I'm still trying to figure out is how you hit the basketball with the golf club and not ruin the club. But, you know, and you know, you're never going to fit that thing in the hole. So, I mean, a hole in one just doesn't seem like a possibility until you've popped the ball. Okay, we're taking the mixed sports analogy way too far, aren't we?
Yep. No one's that stupid. Next story.
Play dumb. Not that dumb.
Too dumb.
Oh, I did finally get around to watching that movie the other day. It's actually pretty good. Oh,
which
I've already
movie?
Posted links. Spider-Man.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. Play dumb. Not that dumb. So, anyways, So let's go on to the next article, and this is one I thought we'd probably actually spend some time discussing rather than just pointing and laughing at. This is from 9news.com.au. So when it's wrong, I'm kind of hoping RU calls it out, unless they kick him off the internet again for, you know, having an opinion.
Unless my internet dies again.
Yeah, it's like, what? No, he's about to say something. Kill it! Kill it! several websites, including 4chan, have been blocked by major Australian telcos for continuing to host footage of the Christchurch terror attack. Telstra yesterday blocked
Okay. Yeah, there's your first one. There's your first fault. 4chan can't host footage that long. The video is actually too long to be posted to 4chan.
Do you think they would have gone after it for just people posting screenshots of the video?
That's probably why, but that's an inaccuracy. You can't post a video that large on 4chan. Just the first one they got wrong there.
All right.
Sorry, I know it's nitpicking.
No, go nuts. It's fine.
We're at a point where these people need to be nitpicked.
It's fine. Go for it, dude. Telstra yesterday blocked access to 4chan, 8chan, and Vote, the blog Zero Hedge, and video hosting platform LiveLeak. We understand this may inconvenience some legitimate users of these sites. There are no legitimate users of 8chan. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah, there are. It keeps them off 4chan. These fucking sick fucks can stay over at 8chan, dude.
Very nice.
Dude, that place is like Moe's Isley. It's just fucking just full of scumbags. It's why I never went to 8chan. It was nothing worth being there for.
That was one of those ones that if you're going to go there, you wanted to set up another computer that you could just throw in the dumpster when you were done?
Pretty much.
So, where was I? We understand this may inconvenience some legitimate users of these sites, but these are extreme circumstances, and we feel this is the right thing to do, Telstra Networks and IT executive Nikos Kitanakis said in a statement. Opus and Vodafone declined to name which domains they blocked, but the same platforms also failed to load on their networks on Tuesday afternoon. The ban on 4chan was lifted a few hours later. Vodafone said while blocking requests normally came from the courts or law enforcement agencies, this was an extreme case in which we think requires an extraordinary response. While there were discussions at an industry level about the issue, this is a decision Vodafone Australia came to independently, a spokeswoman said in a statement. Optus. Opus sounds cooler. They should rename themselves. Optus said it had blocked the domains after reflecting on community expectations. There's a reason I want to talk about this, and it's not because of the. Are we officially calling that a terror attack or the Christchurch? I don't really want to talk about the attack itself.
I don't give two fucks about the attack. The thing that I give a flying fuck about is this thing called community expectations.
Yeah, that's where I want to go.
What part of the community I'm not involved in now? You know, that's what I mean. They just sort of said, yeah, you're not with us anymore. You're not part of it. And
as far
also,
as what
too,
to call it, it is technically a terrorist attack.
Okay, terrorist.
Well, okay, it's a terrorist attack. There's been 139 fucking murders in 7 days. But you haven't heard shit about them. You can watch them on fucking LiveLeak. You know what I mean?
120 of them were Christians being put to death.
I wasn't going to make that point. I'm not trying to make the point of whose side we're on here. I'm just talking about, well, if there's community expectations, why aren't we taking down Facebook? Because that hosted one of the massacres. Also, too, the people that carried out that massacre have a fucking Facebook page and a Twitter.
I would think, they'd want to leave it up to assist the police.
Well, you had the New Zealand police actually asking for copies of the video so they could study it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy's face shows up in his mirror a couple of times.
Dude, he turns the camera on his face.
Oh, does he? I didn't watch the whole thing.
I watched it 30 times, at least. not because I enjoy watching people die. It was just so much in those videos to pull out. And I wanted to know it all myself so I could point and laugh at the TV when they said that he was a Navy sniper who had killed 300 people. Confirmed kills. And they broadcast that on live TV as a news.
Well, apparently a large chunk of the 80-page manifesto was apparently all copy and paste from other shit.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was 4chan copy pasta.
Yeah. Back to the article here. The telco industry's peak body said the decision to voluntarily block domains was made due to extraordinary circumstances involved. These ISPs have sought to balance community expectations to remove access to the video with the need to minimize any inconvenience that may arrive from legitimate content being blocked as an unavoidable temporary consequence. Communications Alliance Chief Executive John Stanton said in a statement, another large internet service provider, TPG, has been contacted for comment. A spokesman for the eSafety Commissioner said she did not provide any direction or advice to Australian ISPs in regard to the blocking of websites. The office does not have the authority to direct ISPs to block domains, but can take action to remove content shared on Australian-hosted websites, which is actually what I would expect. If it's hosted in Australia, it's subject to Australian law.
I'm with that as well. I would have supported that. But what really really got me filthy angry, I mean, 24 hours, man, I was fucking livid. I would have murdered a fucking Telstra employee if he'd come to my front door. Like, that's how angry I was. And that was the thing. They were saying, the only place you can fucking learn about what happened is here on the news. And everything they were saying was incorrect. Everything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was just, it made me so angry that they're like, sorry, 1984 is here, motherfucker. Like,
yeah, we are the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah.
Ministry of Truth.
Genuinely, like, for 24 hours, man, I was so angry. I was like, right, fuck it. If it has to start here, let's do it. Let's go. I will fucking die on this hill. And I'm like, I'm a fucking idiot. Why am I going to die on the hill of 4chan?
Because you're not dying on the hill of 4chan. You're dying on the hill of free speech. There were very few news outlets that were educated enough on internet culture to accurately report this guy. And those news outlets are all internet news outlets.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the news guys actually hits mainstream every so often when they ask him to come in, but he doesn't have any mainstream actual show. Yeah. So the only way to find accurate, this is bullshit that he's saying to stir the pot, which a lot of it was, and this could be useful, either you find the information yourself and go through it, or find the guys that know it and listen to them.
Well, I mean, I heard some clips from NPR that were, I mean, they just hurt, right? Because the guy says subscribe to PewDiePie in the video, right?
Yeah.
And so the NPR guys start analyzing that and going, well, PewDiePie is a Scandinavian white man, and the channel he's going against is T-Series, which is Indian. So obviously the phrase subscribe to PewDiePie is racist. It's like, well, for fuck's sake. I mean,
yeah,
you know, come on.
And that's what I mean. They fucked that up entirely, where anybody who actually had any ounce of knowledge of what's going on in the world right now when it comes to the internet reporting versus mainstream media, knows that PewDiePie's the biggest, man. That would the mob were going to come for him first. And they did. PewDiePie had to unsubscribe to everyone just so those people weren't getting hammered because they were subscribed to PewDiePie.
Yeah.
Like, it was, and the shit they were talking about PewDiePie, oh, he's a fucking Scandinavian white nationalist who broadcasts to 50 million children a day, brainwashing them. I'm like, fuck off.
So, go ahead.
I was just going
to finish out the article.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Let's see. Commissioner is encouraging social media users to report the video and any content supporting the attacks directly to the platforms. LiveLeak said in a statement it would not carry the video filmed by the psychopath who murdered 49 innocent people in New Zealand and continue to remove it whenever it is discovered. Whilst we may carry media showing the most terrible of events, we don't want to be a vehicle of choice for those who carry out these events. This is a very important distinction for us, it said.
LiveLeak, you weren't fucking the vehicle of choice.
No, Facebook was.
Exactly. So stop bigging yourself up there.
Let's see, just the last line here. Vote, Zero Hedge, 4chan, and 810 have been contacted for comment. Yeah, good luck with that. So you've contacted 4chan for comment, and you got AIDS.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. Same with the guys over at Kiwi Farms. They pretty much, like, the New Zealand government demanded that they hand over all their stuff, information on users and stuff like that. Kiwi Farms just stuck a big middle finger in the air and told him go fuck himself. Congratulations to...
Hello, I'm from the Australian government. Do you have something to hide?
That those clips are now strangely relevant.
But life leaks back. It's slow as shit on my end. But then again, I've been having internet outages since the whole thing went down. Probably localized, I don't know. And I am able to access 4chan. But I'm not telling you how I'm doing it. And it's not through a VPN or Tor. But life finds a way.
If the government was really serious about limiting these types of events, they wouldn't be going after 4chan or LiveLeak. They would just get together with news personnel and say, hey guys, you know what isn't a national story? A story that happened in one town. So we're going to report it in that town, and we're just not going to say the dude's name. If you want to do international, you'd say, there's a shooting in this town. Maybe say the number of people that were hurt and leave it at that. If you don't say the guy's name, they won't be famous. It cuts down on the number of mass shooters you get.
I would think that the last thing you would want to do is block access to these sites. I would think what you would want to do is instead notify police, hey, you guys should be monitoring these sites. So, because, like, this guy apparently posted a whole bunch of shit on 8chan right before it all went down. And if somebody was monitoring that, ideally they could have responded faster. I'm saying monitoring, not censoring, not changing, not fucking with, just, hey, it's public, it's on the internet. You can look at it too.
The amount of fucking bullshit
I know
people put on there, man. If you were to follow up every threat, I don't think that's it. This guy had a plan. He was going to do it anyway. People are fucking nuts.
You can't do anything about crazies, man. Yeah, this guy's obviously nuts. I mean, obviously.
And the worst part about it, they're giving him everything he wanted. Everything laid out in his manifesto is playing out right now. I just see this faggot sitting back in his cell, cackling like the fucking Joker, going, I got you motherfuckers good.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I can see that.
Because everything he wanted in his manifesto is coming true.
I'll be honest, haven't read it.
He wanted mass censorship, guns taken off, and he wanted an argument pretty much between the left and the right over gun control.
No, well,
he was going to push a civil war in the U.S.
But he's got it.
He's got exactly what he wanted, man. Mass censorship throughout Australia and New Zealand, and they've confiscated guns. So
yeah, I got the inkling I should go buy an AR-15 before they ban them again, so...
This New Zealand thing hasn't finished yet. There's a lot more to come down the pipe out of this, and it's going to be tech orientated, and I think it's going to justify a lot of what Europe's about to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy was a nut bar. He wrote all over his guns with whiteout, for God's sake. I mean, come on. Yeah. Anyways.
I mean, it just... It takes subscribe to PewDiePie to a whole new level in public.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
You don't. He was already breaking gun laws. I mean, for God's sake. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, whoa. You think the psychopath who plans on murdering people is going to be, oh, well, that's illegal. I can't do that. I mean, come on. And this is, okay, I didn't want to get into the politics of all that because it's. Yeah,
it's part and parcel with it, man. Like, well, they're banning these websites. Why? I can't tell you. Well, you know what I mean?
What I don't like is that the ISPs chose to do it on their own. Because now, they've effectively become publishers. They can choose to censor.
This was not for them a thing for public. We're looking after the public. They're like, let's see how far we can push it.
I believe that.
If we don't get any kickback from this, who else can we block? You know? they start blocking competitors on the networks without, you know.
One of the stories I looked at and then dropped and decided it wasn't worth talking about because it's not really tech, it's business. The EU just fined Google a shit ton of money because they decided Google was blocking competitive advertising platforms. So, you know, I didn't think it was worth talking about on this show, but yeah, the EU's doing that already. They already just, it was like $160 billion or something like that for anti-competitive practices in Europe. And there was another article I looked at and thought about running, but in Europe, on Android phones, you're going to have a choice of what browser you want. It's like going to pop up and say, hey, you don't have to use Chrome. You could use Firefox or something else. I kind of wish they wouldn't do that just in Europe. I think it'd be better if they just did that everywhere. That way they had a unified platform, a little bit easier to manage. But, you know, hey, no, can't do that. So,
but, well, look, man, you look at the Prime Minister of New Zealand. What was her former job before she was Prime Minister? She was a DJ at dance festivals. I don't know if that's better or worse than a drama teacher, but yeah.
I don't want to say normal people can't be politicians. She could still be knowledgeable. I don't think she is just from the knee-jerk reaction she had, but it's possible that a DJ can know what they're doing.
Oh, sure. I'm not going to dispute that. I'm just thinking more of the fact that party girl DJs usually had another draw they used when they were... Anyways, that's going to go someplace different, and I don't feel like going
down
that road.
It works great for politicians, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
You know what? I almost... Let's just... Rocket Snail. Facebook. Let's go talk about something nice and, you know, not nearly as dark as what's going on right now with all that shit. Facebook stored hundreds of millions of user passwords in plain text. Oops. Where's my button? Is this the button? This is from Axios.com, but there's a couple of different versions of this article floating around. For years, Facebook has been storing hundreds of millions of users' passwords exposed in plain text in an internal database that was searchable by tens of thousands of employees, Brian Krebs of Krebs on Security reports. Although Facebook says it has no evidence that the database was abused by employees because they didn't keep logs, this is just the latest example in a string of controversies over the company's handling of users' information and privacy. In the last few months alone, Facebook has come under fire for sharing user data, including private messages, with other businesses, allowing users to be looked up by their phone numbers. Facebook is on the cusp of integrating several apps with messaging capabilities into one communication structure, which has raised questions among privacy advocates and lawmakers alike over Facebook's shaky track record on privacy. Facebook found this security issue in January during a routine security review, the company's VP of Engineering, Security, and Privacy wrote in a blog. Okay, all three of those should not be rolled up under one VP. Just going to throw that out there. In some cases, the exposure of the passwords goes back as far as 2012. Facebook will be notifying users whose passwords were affected. By the numbers, 20,000 employees could search the database, and between 200 million and 600 million users had their passwords stored in plain text per Krebs. Want to bet a couple of those 20,000 employees made a shit ton of money selling those passwords online?
Oh, yeah.
Security aware companies typically store passwords in encrypted or otherwise obscured formats and don't allow them to be read even by their own employees, because that's how you're supposed to do it. You use a one-way hash and you store them with extraordinarily restricted access. I wish I could say most companies do that, but we all know better.
And I wonder how many of these passwords are also the passwords to, I don't know, their checking account.
For most people, a lot of them. A lot of people use the same password everywhere because remembering a different password per website's a pain in the ass. So this is why, you know, getting a good password manager and using a different password on every website is good advice. But it's Facebook, and I also kind of like to point and laugh at people who rely on Facebook. So, because do I have a Facebook account? Yeah, I do. Do I use it? Nope. Have I deleted it? Nope. Just because I don't want to deal with that. I just don't ever log into it. if I am going to use it, I hop on a VPN and use a virtual machine or some other disposable device, usually.
I cheat it like it has the plague.
Because it does. Checking account, what about retirement or cancer email? Actually, that's a good point on email, Psychros, because if you get into somebody's email account, you can generally do the password reset on any other account they have that you want into. So, but, yeah, I mean, you might be able to get some money by getting into somebody's checking account. If they catch it quick enough, the bank will just reverse the charges, or a lot of times sometimes the bank ends up eating the charges, so...
Or the retailer.
Yeah, they'll turn around and make the retailer who got scammed own it. So,
ooh, another fun thing. Instead of defrauding that checking account, you can get their information if you can get access to their checking account. Then what you do is just open up a credit set up card new ones that they don't know exists. Max the sucker out. Bam! Fun times for everybody.
Madman, quit telling the internet how to commit check fraud. You guys get on me for telling criminals how to do it right all the time.
Technically not check fraud. This is credit fraud.
Credit fraud, whatever. Either way. I've been drinking, damn it. Like a lot. I probably shouldn't have emptied that bottle into the decanter because it seems to be evaporating. Anyways... Let's see, what's next? Verge, Windows 7. Okay, yep, here we go. Yeah, if you, you know, if you trusted Facebook, shame on you. so.
Hey, yeah. The lizard people seemed completely honest.
I think Epic Rap Battle's got it right. Knowing What You Think, Incorporated. So, let's see. Next article is from The Verge. Microsoft starts notifying Windows 7 users about the end of support.
Damn. That's quick.
Windows 7?
Yeah.
It's like 10 years old.
How long did they support Windows 2000?
Not that long.
Huh.
Windows XP they supported for something like 13 years.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Vista is going to be out of support about the same time as Windows 7 at this rate. Or not Vista, 8. 8 and Vista are kind of the same thing now that I think about it. But yeah, nobody's asking for extensions of support on 8, but yeah, I think 8's runs out like a year after Windows 7's does. Because they just kept extending Windows 7. Microsoft has started rolling out an update to Windows 7 that will notify existing users about the end of the support. The software maker is stopping support of Windows 7 on January 14th, 2020, and it's now starting to warn users about this cutoff date. Microsoft is using a notification to warn Windows 7 users, similar to the prompts the company used to use to get people to upgrade to Windows 7. I think they meant Windows 10. Microsoft's end of support date means that Windows 7 users will no longer receive security updates, and the company wants consumers to upgrade to Windows 10 PCs instead. While the notification doesn't mention Windows 10, Microsoft links to a new Windows 7 site that encourages consumers to update their PCs. Microsoft revealed earlier this month that these notifications would arrive on Windows 7, but that the company states it would only be displayed a handful of times during 2019. The notification will stop once Windows 7 support ends in January, or if you select the Do Not Remind Me Again on the notification. Microsoft's previous Windows 10 upgrade notifications irritated a number of Windows users, and the company has clearly learned to respect that people want to hide them. Windows 10 is still edging closer to Microsoft's goal of having it installed on 1 billion devices. The Windows 7 upgrade cycle will help to push Windows 10 further, and it recently passed Windows 7 in the market share earlier this year. That's probably due to hardware death. Windows 10 is now running on more than 800 million devices. So, the thing is, unless you're just running an ancient machine that happens to have not died yet, which, unfortunately, PC makers figured out planned obsolescence a while ago, so it used to be you'd get a decade out of a computer with decent hardware. Nowadays, they tend to have a component start to fail sooner than that, usually the hard disk, but, you know, other things go out on them. Ethernet cards and Wi-Fi seem to go out disturbingly common on laptops. I've seen a lot of laptops with dead Wi-Fi chips lately. So I kind of wonder if the whole... I'm kind of the mindset that if you're running Windows 7 on modern hardware, it's because you did it on purpose. So you probably are damned well aware that support is ending, and I doubt you need the Microsoft prompt. Otherwise, you just happen to be running an ancient machine. But I'm also of the opinion that if you're running a machine that's that old, it's probably accidentally already upgraded itself to Windows 10 back during the... that whole fiasco. Anyways, I know that happened to both my parents. Their machines got updated to Windows 10, and that was that was kind of it. It was like, whoops, fuck. Like, what happened? I thought I was making the box go away, and they got upgraded to Windows 10. Happened to my mom, and then again to my dad. So, I don't know. I'm kind of... It's like, yeah, I mean, I get it. They don't want to manage the thing forever, and... I mean, hell, they already backported the telemetry to Windows 7, so if you were keeping up with Windows updates, it's not like you were gaining anything by staying on it at this point. But, I don't know. With the whole Vulkan and the DirectX support in Wine, I forget what the project is called, that Steam's been working on, I'm thinking more and more that unless you've got some pretty specific hardware or software requirements, that Linux is looking like a really good alternative. I need to get Linux loaded up on a machine with some decent gaming hardware and see how that... I forget what the hell the project's called, but the Steam project that they were adding on top of Wine... to convert DirectX 11 and 12 calls over to Vulkan. I need to see how that's running on modern hardware. Because, I'll be honest, I haven't tried to game on Linux in a while.
I don't have a problem with ceasing support. The only thing that ever pisses me off is when they intentionally brick hardware, or they put a call out that's unnecessary for the new program. They just do it so it doesn't work on older software.
Well, hell, don't buy an
iPad.
That
shit pisses me off.
Don't buy an iPad. I was actually looking at it. It's like, man, I'm going to have to get a new one soon. This thing's starting to slow down. It's like, do I get a new iPad or do I jump ship and get an Android tablet? But
my opinion, I should be able to try to run it. And if my system, my hardware just won't support it, it'll run like crap and I'll get rid of it if it runs at all. Or if the OS won't run it because the OS won't run it, then it just won't. It'll just fucking crash.
What pisses me off about like the iPad situation is that there's no way to go back. At least no supported way. I mean, yeah, you can back up the... Oh, I forget what the key files are called, but you can back those up and jailbreak the device and roll it back that way. But if you're sticking with the official paths, because maybe you need to run corporate-managed environments like Good or BlackBerry Mobile or whatever, there's no official path to undo these updates when they make the machine run like crap. So, you know, it's getting worse on that regard, and... You know, I mean, I know Microsoft would love to take Windows to that software as a service where you're just paying a subscription to it, sort of like Adobe. Although they're trying to slip it in as part of Office 365 as opposed to on the consumer side like Adobe did. So, yeah. I also get where Microsoft's coming from. They want everybody on the same platform, so it's easier to support. But I used to have a HP Stream 7. Actually, I probably still have it somewhere. And that whole automatic Windows 10 update on it, yeah, it bricked it. I let it happen just to see what would happen, and it bricked the tablet. I was able to get into the BIOS on it and try to reset it, but it just wasn't worth saving. Of course, the thing was kind of a dog pile of a tablet anyways. But, I I don't know. Next article. This one. We were all done with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This one's from Mashable.com and is disturbing. Kind of funny, but disturbing. Website secretly live streamed 1,600 unwitting hotel guests for paying members. People were paying money to watch live streams of hotel rooms.
Voyeurism is a thing, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, who cares about watching, you know, what are most people doing? They're laying in the bed watching TV, right? I realize what people do on their honeymoons, but come on. We're probably...
voyeurs, it's not what you're doing that interests them. It's that they're watching something that they're not supposed to be watching. So their version of porn isn't watching the honeymoon suite necessarily. They're getting just as happy watching you play Parcheesi with your family before you go to bed after your road trip.
My family never played Parcheesi in the hotel rooms. It was always poker.
Poker, whatever. Pick a board game. Well, I was going with family friendly here.
I was just thinking, it's like Parcheesi. Who the hell played Parcheesi in a hotel room? Anyways. So, end of the article here. No, you're not being paranoid. Four individuals have been arrested for a scheme allegedly involving spy cams in 42 motel rooms across South Korea and the live streaming of up to 1,600 unwitting guests. The intended audience, however, was much larger than just those four. A website broadcast the video to its over 4,000 members, at least some of whom paid for access. So reports the Korean Herald, which notes that the hidden IP cameras had a 1mm lens and were installed in TVs, power outlets, and other seemingly innocuous hotel room fixtures. The paper adds that, according to the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency Cyber Investigation Unit, the scheme reached... I'm drinking too much because that was a hell of a mouthful. The scheme reached 30 different motels in 10 cities across the country. The police agency strictly deals with criminals who post and share illegal videos as they severely harm human dignity, the aforementioned Seoul Police Unit said in a statement to the paper. While some details are light, like how police first learned of the creep show, we do know that a few disturbing facts. The secret filming is said to have taken place between November 24th of last year and March 2nd, meaning that this was ongoing up until a few weeks ago. The website in question, which the paper did not name, is said to be hosted outside the country. 97 people reportedly purchased over 800 of the videos, generating the site operators roughly $6,200. They were undercharging. Running the website, if found guilty, could face up to 5 years in prison. Notably, this is not the first case of hidden cameras found in hotels or Airbnbs, although the scale of the effort and the paid customer element really drives up the ick factor. Smaller, seemingly one-off examples have made the news in recent years in the U.S. ABC Action News reported in October 2017 that a couple staying in a Florida Airbnb discovered a hidden camera and a smoke detector directly above their bed. And in January of this year, a man claimed to have discovered multiple hidden cameras in his Miami Airbnb. With the proliferation of both unmonitored Airbnbs and smaller, cheaper cameras, this problem likely isn't going away anytime soon. So take a second look at the weird smoke detectors and clocks next time you check in for an overnight stay, because this privacy-violating news goes to show beyond being paranoid just means you're paying attention. So, Psychros says he played Parcheesi in a hotel room as a kid. There you go, Madman.
Wait.
Fuck. They were really undercharging for their videos, if that's all they made.
They were.
This wasn't nearly as bad as I thought. I thought they were doing, like, hotel security didn't secure their Wi-Fi cameras or something.
No.
You know, they're moving to wireless cameras, too.
But you can get on Amazon and find those anti-spy camera device things for, like, $20. Of course, you can also find the spy cameras on Amazon for $45. Oh, this one's mean. This is a spy camera that looks like a phone charger.
$35. Come in all shapes and sizes now, man.
$35 for a spy camera that looks like a mobile phone charger.
And if you left that in the room, no one would think anything. They'd just be like, oh, they forgot to unplug their charger from the wall. And they would probably take that home with them.
Exactly.
Like, I've got an extra phone charger. Rock on for me.
Till you pop it open and find the 128 gig SD card, then you're like, hey, bonus. And it's got video from the night in the hotel. Even better. Blackmail material for when the wife decides to fuck with me. Oh, there's a whole series of these things, and they all cost about the same money.
Yeah. That'll only get worse, man.
Is it wireless?
You just have to retrieve it and get the card. Is this one wireless?
The one you like says wireless.
Wireless nanny cams, yeah.
This was all throughout the United States, right?
No, this is
South Korea.
South Korea.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because hotel maids are underpaid in the United States, it would not be hard to run a scam like this.
Fuck it, I'm ordering one of these. One of these cell phone
charger. I need to rework how paranoid I am.
Cameras.
That shit's pretty small these days.
I'm ordering one of these cameras.
Building to myself, not swiping any phone chargers from Morse's house.
If the phone charger's in the bathroom, madman, maybe time to put a show on.
Hey, y'all want to see me twerk?
Wow, wow.
That's fucked up. Anyways, so, yeah, it might be worth learning how to look for spy cams. The big trick I always was aware of was to get a fairly strong flashlight and to kind of flash it around the room, like by, you know, twisting it back and forth real quickly and look for the little flashes of reflection on things that shouldn't have a reflection. That's the trick I always learned for looking for hidden cameras.
I just don't do anything in rooms that I know are not secure. Just a general good rule of thumb. That's all.
Well, I'd like to find the spy camera so I can, you know, practice my turbo mooning skills. Or set up a laptop in front of it and just let it, you know, stream 8chan or some bullshit, right? It's like, yeah, here you go. You'll wait for the camera and put on a little play for it.
Start doing mime shit. In front of the camera.
You know how fucked up that would be? You go check the footage on your hidden spy cam, and you see the guy wave at it, and then he and his friends start reenacting the first Lord of the Rings movie. Badly. In a hotel room with cardboard props.
I'm still putting it on Pornhub.
That'd be a new hobby, reenacting Lord of the Rings for hidden spy cams. Well, I mean, people used to do that for security cameras. They'd go put on, you know, plays and shows. It was some art thing.
It's hard to fap to, but I'll get through it.
Speaking of hard to fap to, man, that was a terrible transition. This one's from Torrent Freak. Scammers use fake copyright notices to steal Instagram accounts. Because Instagram doesn't let people post dirty pictures. Hard to fap. Okay. Anyways, bad joke. Scammers are using fake copyright notices to obtain login credentials from Instagram users. Cybersecurity firm Kaspersky reports the recipients are told that their account will be suspended for copyright infringement within 24 hours. They can, however, quote-unquote, verify their account if they believe it's a mistake. There's no denying that many people spend several hours per day on social media accounts. Those who gain enough status on sites such as Instagram can even make a living out of it. Well, how do you make a living out of Instagram? Does Instagram pay out like YouTube does?
Thoughts.
Yeah.
Same thing, dude. They just sell nudes.
I thought you couldn't post nudes on Instagram. That was part of the joke.
I thought it was there you could have a private part.
Oh, could you? I don't actually have an Instagram account,
sure,
so
man.
I don't know.
I'm not up on all these cam whore things. But,
I don't have the, I don't have an Instagram account. I don't have the tits for it.
Either do I, but from what some of the stuff I understand is that the thoughts over on Twitch will have Instagram accounts and shit like that that they plug for you to go buy naked photos or suggested photos from, things like that.
Oh, so they're like linking, oh, go to my Patreon from their Instagram account or some bullshit. Okay.
Exactly. That's how I think it works. I don't know. I'm not up on all that. If I want to fucking look at porn, I'll go to a porn site. I'm not going to Twitch. I mean, that's awkward.
Cycros says it's a, like a PayPal email kind of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, they sell the pictures via email to the Not Safe for Work stuff. See, now, I don't get that. I would assume that the first thing that somebody's going to do after they pay for it is take all those pictures they just paid for and post them on 4chan or some other bullshit for free for everybody
else. Well, that's what we used to do. You know what I mean? That's like how it used to go.
You'd have one good Samaritan who paid for it and then post it online and everybody else would get it for free.
Exactly. All these little fuckheads running around wanting to be socialists, but they don't fucking share their porn. You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem to be a thing these days. Like,
must be if people are making a living at it.
That's all I can think.
When this livelihood...
I don't begrudge them.
You know what? If they can make a living at it, more power to them. When this livelihood is threatened, panic and fear can ensue. This is something scammers are well aware of and some gladly exploiting for their own benefit. According to cybersecurity company and virus provider Kaspersky, I love how Torn Freak doesn't mention how many people aren't allowed to use Kaspersky anymore because they're a Russian-based company. A new phishing scheme that uses fake copyright notices is gaining momentum. The email campaign uses an Instagram letterhead and warns recipients that their accounts will be suspended. Quote, we regret to inform you that your account will be suspended because you have violated the copyright laws. Your account will be deleted within 24 hours. If you think we have made a mistake, please verify to secure your account, the email reads. And, of course, it's got a link to a phishing page. Most native speakers will spot the grammatical errors, which should sound alarm bells. On the other hand, people who are less fluent in English or don't read closely might be easily drawn to the verify account button, which leads to a heap of trouble. If you click it, you end up on a convincing phishing page where fraudsters put an image saying they care very much about copyright protection and offer you a link to appeal, Kaspersky writes. People who click the link will then be asked to enter their Instagram credentials, which will obviously be stolen. And while the scammers are at it, victims are also asked to verify their email addresses. It's like, hey, can we get that email from you too? Because we'd love to use that. Especially because they can go in that sent folder and get all those photos from the thought without having to pay for them, right? None of these phishing tricks are new, and it appears that this scam has been running for a few months already. What's interesting, however, is that the copyright infringement is used as a threat to spur people into action. With all the recent talk about upload filters and disappearing memes, people are likely to be more susceptible to fall for this scheme than an ordinary verify your account email, especially if their precious social media accounts are supposedly at risk. So, that's a good scam. I'm betting it's working.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, it's like, come on, people, do a little bit of reading, maybe understand how this shit works, or worse. You know, maybe just look and see that link is not going to Instagram and it's probably going to somebody's hacked WordPress site. So.
They're selling nudes for a living, dude. Just saying.
Yeah, the requirements.
They're not long-term thinkers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the requirements to be attractive, not to be smart. So.
Exactly.
So, anyways, that's, I don't know, Madman, you have anything on that one?
No, it's the same phishing. Whenever, these companies don't generally contact you asking you for your information. They already have it.
Usually. Although I kind of wonder, what's the website? Thought Hub? Go in there and see how many people are complaining about it.
At least the times I've been needing to deal with, we have an issue and need to make sure everyone's secure. we close your account and have you reset your password the next time you try to log in. If you want to know why we're doing it, you contact us. We never contact you. And every company I know of that has operated websites that have anything sensitive, that's the way they've done it. They've never asked for shit. We already have it.
Well, yeah, it's like, oh, please verify your password. Why? I mean, it's like, it's not like you have it either. It should be hashed. So, but, anyways, let's see. Oh, it's time for this. Got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. Neither of which pertain to looking up thoughts on the internet. But, I'm sorry. If I had thought about it more, we would have tried to do some kind of a tie-in for a transition there, but I didn't. The first thing up is a interesting GitHub project called Carbon Copy. It's a Python script that copies or gets the public key from a website certificate, say Microsoft.com, uses this to generate a spoofed certificate, and then signs an executable with this. It turns out a lot of antiviruses will just assume a signed executable from Microsoft or Google or other well-known software publisher. I almost said manufacturer. I guess it is kind of software manufacturing. But anyway, so from any well-known software publisher, it kind of assumes that they're safe. And most of them don't do a good job of checking the certificates. So what Carbon Copy does is it'll take the website certificate to get a public key, generate a fake cert, you know, a spoofed cert based on that public key, and then sign the executable with it. And that appears to be enough to get you around most antiviruses.
Wow.
So,
hey, that's a problem.
When you're building that custom interpreter payload, if you're looking for something better than, say, running a shoot through Shikata Ganai a couple hundred times, this might be something worth considering. So, it's a neat project. I love the concept that we're just spoofing a cert based off the website's public key. It's like, it's signed from Microsoft.com. Must be legit, right? The fact that AVs don't check this stuff very well. I mean, fuck. I mean, I was playing around with it earlier, and it seems to work just fine. And just for fun, we threw something up at VirusTotal. I don't think many of the AVs bothered to scan it, because that raw copy and interpreter didn't trip that many AVs.
Oh.
So, anyways. Fun trick. And if you're into custom executables to try to do your security testing, it's a nice trick to know, especially for AV evasion. Or if you're just wanting to fuck with people and run things that are signed by Microsoft when they're clearly not. it's a Windows or Linux thing, but I didn't even think about it on a Mac. I wonder if you could, you know, sign things with some app developer's key and get around the whole Apple Store thing on the latest versions of Mac OS, where, because by default they're locked down to only run things from their app store, sort of like their tablets. On a Mac OS, it's a little bit easier to turn that shit off than, you know, having to jailbreak an iPad. But, yeah. Anyways, and then the final thing I have is an article from thetoolsweneed.com, which is an interesting little write-up on how to set up Firefox with a bunch of add-ons, basically, for maximum privacy online. Trying to avoid the tracking that Facebook and Google does, basically. Switch over to Firefox, set your DNS to the cloud for their DNSs, and install a bunch of add-ons here. What are the add-ons? Privacy Badger, HTTPS Everywhere, uBlock Origin, Decentralized, Canvas Blocker, which I was not aware of, and Smart Refer, which is another one I was not aware of. Because a lot of these add-ons just kind of block, like the refer links, and you know, killing some of the stuff that, like, the JavaScript identification stuff, fingerprinting stuff, based on, like, the fonts that are installed on your machine and your screen resolution and shit like that. Of course, Privacy Badger, HTTPS Everywhere, and uBlock or Origin are pretty well known. So I thought it was interesting because it links some browser add-ons that I wasn't quite as aware of. It also talks about using Start Page and DuckDuckGo as your landing page and your search engine instead of Google. So that's a nice little write-up. And they're also talking about using Cloudflare's DNS, but I kind of wonder about Cloudflare, given how much they give away for free and what their services do. I always kind of felt like they might be some kind of like a NSA front or something like that. I have absolutely no evidence to support that. It's my own personal conspiracy theory.
You're not the only one with that thought. It's, Cloudflare is a weird one, man.
If you're not paying for it, odds are you're the product.
Well, that's the thing with Cloudflare, right?
You can't see what's happening there, though. Can't see if you are.
You know, their really DNS service. Okay, yeah, I don't know how you make money with DNS, but I feel like they got to be doing something with it. But they also give you that free website proxying on their free tier. Now, you could argue it's just a freemium service where they're trying to get you to upsell to their next version where you actually pay for it. But it's like there are a lot of websites that use the free Cloudflare proxying service to stay up. And it's like, I just wonder about that. It's like, if you've got the proxy logs, that's a great way to see who's going to what website and what the content is and all that other shit. So I have zero evidence for these claims. I don't know that any of it's real. I just, at the surface level, man, something's up with Cloudflare.
Yeah. That's what got me too. You get so much for free, and that's one thing you got me on there, Morps, is they're looking at all the new websites being made. I wonder if they're sort of calculating what'll be the next big thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who to throw money at if there's a good idea.
Well, I mean, and they could very well be calculating analytics for what companies to invest in, which that's not very nefarious, but I mean, shit, I don't know. It's just weird. And it could just be that they're so damned profitable off the big guy websites that they don't care how much they're giving away. But that seems unlikely. So I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe. No. That's, no one hemorrhages money for fun.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Yeah, definitely they're watching something there, and I think they're looking for the next big thing.
I mean, maybe they're just funneling it all to the FBI, looking for anybody who might be the next, you know, terrorist shooter or whatever. Like, and I don't even know that I have a problem with that. I just like to know what the hell's going on, that's all.
That was the same thing with stream.me, man. There was something fucking weird about that place. You know, it just didn't sit right with what was happening.
Yeah.
But, that place is glad it's gone off the New Zealand thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That.
Although, I do kind of wish we had gotten in on it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, we'd be just as dead in the water as everyone else by now. But, a lot of people have disappeared now off social media.
Well, I mean, how many people are just simply doing the digital detox after all the bullshit, right?
I'm thinking that could be a lot of it.
I mean, fuck, I've had times where it's just, I mean, we've shut decking down for months at a time because I just needed a break.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hell, I'm taking a bunch of time off work next week just because I've kind of had enough and need the break. So, that and I need to go through the townhouse and throw 3/3 of what's in it away. And as soon as I figure out what 3/3 I need to throw away, I'll do it. But I'm afraid it's going to be the expensive shit, right? It's like, I can't throw that away. I spent a ton of money on that. Or the worst problem, I can't throw that away. It still works.
You gotta get yourself a wireless headset. I'll sit here and you describe it to me and I'll say whether to junk it or not.
So it's a SunSpark server. It still works and could be an email server. I'll never turn it on again.
Put that one in the corner. We're keeping that one.
We're keeping that one. What about the video surveillance system? I mean, that's one of those. It's an analog
put that over
video.
There with the server. We may run them in conjunction. I'm not the man to help you declutter.
What about the four 3D printers? All of, you know, two of them work, two of them are in pieces.
The two that are in pieces, chuck them.
Oh, that's hard, because I can fix
you're
them.
You're not thinking, madman. You could take the two, pull them apart, and make one.
I don't care. He's got two that are working. So what you do, you take the two that are in pieces, and if just throwing them away are difficult, I have a shotgun. We can shoot them and then throw them away.
Yeah, because they won't work anymore.
A better way, which doesn't involve discharging firearms in a residential area, just heat up some honey in a squirt bottle and just go around squirting all the electronic gear with hot honey. It'll be sticky and fucked up for the rest of its life. You'll have to throw it out.
You underestimate industrial degreasers, sir. I've got a plastic bin I could throw that shit in and then degrease it. It's fine. Oh, I've done that for machines before, actually.
Can you degrease shotgun?
No,
you cannot.
No, I cannot. I do not have a chemical fix for shotgun. Maybe methamphetamine. That stuff's kind of easy to get.
It'll make you think you can fix it. You'll also lose some weight.
Well, that
probably
wouldn't be bad
either.
First
the fat, and then your teeth.
Yeah, well, the teeth could be a problem.
Depends how good your dental care.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not great, but you know whose is anymore.
Stop after 6 months, you'll probably be okay.
It's like, how'd you lose all that weight? Meth.
That wasn't classy enough for cocaine.
Oh, fuck, madman, closing thoughts.
I dropped all my weight with legalized speed.
There you go.
Yeah, trucker's choice, man. Some good shit. Juramine. Highly recommend it, boys. If you're overweight, ask your doctor for Juramine.
Yeah, I tried that. My doctor said no.
Yeah, they don't want to give it to men. They mainly give it to middle-aged women. So what you do is find yourself...
Well, it would have been nice if you told me that before I asked my doctor for... Thanks,
just find yourself
you.
A middle-aged woman and, yeah, split the pills with them. That's how I did it.
Fuck.
Went from 140 kilos down to 80.
Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site, subreddit, IRC. In the IRC tonight, myself, Sardonyx, Psychros, Iron Angel, and Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
If you're ever getting something free from a company, remember how they're making their money, and they're making their money off of you. If you go into a hotel room and somebody left their charger, no longer think it's a free gift. I saw the little camera things. That sucker goes in the microwave.
I ordered one of those. We're going to see what kind of fun I can get up to with that. It's like, Morphs, why do you have a why do you have a phone charger duct taped to your drone? Well, the camera died, and
oh no, this is when you mess with your parents.
I don't want,
call them up and recite everything that they're doing.
I don't want to put a spy cam in my parents' house because I just don't want to know. I mean, yeah, that's. I don't get the voyeurism thing, and especially not with my own parents. That just doesn't seem like that's gonna... are you? Closing thoughts, save me!
Losing your ability to communicate freely is pure terror. And I hope no one experiences it. That was the most terrifying 24 hours of my fucking life.
Hello, I'm from the Australian government. Do you have something to hide?
Yes, I do. But yeah, it is truly terrifying. I hope it never fucking happens to anybody else. So we'll see how long if we can get some of this stuff back up. But, you know, as they say, man, once it's gone, it's gone. You never get your rights back. So,
at least not without violence.
Oh, dude, I tell you, man, I still have extreme violence inside of me. It was there.
I was thinking the other day that, you know, keeping the loaded handgun on my computer desk might not be the best of ideas anymore.
Even in a drawer, at least.
Yeah, I know. It's right here next to the flask. So, I mean, you know.
Or at least just don't have one chambered.
But then you have an opportunity to give them warning, and that's not so good. Madman, help me out. Do you keep one chambered?
Keep one chambered?
Do you? No?
Oh, I've got a revolver, yes. Mine's chambered. I thought you should keep one chambered. No. You chamber one as a warning to the person who broke into your apartment to leave. My warning is I may pull back the hammer.
I can pull the hammer back on this gun. It's got that it's got that fake double action thing going on. I don't want to mess with it right now because it is chambered. And I've drank a lot of bourbon. Fuck, tomorrow's going to suck. Anyways.
Rocket snail.
That's all I got. That's all I got. RU's declared the end of the show, so we're going to end the show.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Now I'm just going to nose down and call it a night. Nah, I'm a white guy.